Hey there, it's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Libby Dankman in for Larry Mantle. Just for the day, Larry's going to be back tomorrow. Thanks for sticking with me. Well, China on Tuesday celebrated the 70th anniversary of its founding with a splashy military parade at Tiananmen Square. In a speech at the celebration, Chinese President Xi Jinping said that no force can stop the Chinese people and the Chinese nation. But several issues loomed large over the festivities. One of them, China's trade dispute with the U.S. Another was happening simultaneously in Hong Kong, where continuing pro-democracy protests have hit a boiling point. The unrest has entered its 17th week, and all eyes were on the city and local police yesterday, and also on Chinese authorities, to see how protesters and those authorities would respond to the escalating violence. So this was a very chaotic situation. There was tear gas flying in many areas of Hong Kong, smoke in the streets. And the violence hit a new milestone when a Hong Kong police officer shot a teenage protester at close range. That was after the protester, according to the New York Times, appeared to participate in kicking and beating another Hong Kong officer. We want to talk about what's been happening in Hong Kong and what it means in context with the political realities in China. And joining me right now is Victoria Hui, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Notre Dame, who specializes in Hong Kong politics, and she's also a native Hong Konger. Professor Hui, thank you so much for being on Air Talk today. Professor Hui, do we have you?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for being here. So October 1st, if you can give us a little background, why is that a big day in Chinese history? And what is so important about that day for Hong Kong protesters to come and show their voices being heard in the streets?
Yes, thank you so much. Essentially, for Xi Jinping, as you mentioned earlier, that this is a big day celebrating the PRC's 70th birthday. Hong Kong protesters were determined to spoil that, and they more or less succeeded because we've been seeing all these international headlines, the national flag raised in Beijing but burned in Hong Kong. And so, of course, the protests and the violence in Hong Kong have dominated all the news headlines.
So what exactly was happening? The protesters came out on the 70th anniversary of the founding of Communist China, and there were several clashes throughout the city, right? What did you observe? I know you were watching this very closely in the streets of Hong Kong.
Yes. So essentially what you mentioned, that the police fired the first live shot and actually severely injuring a teenager. Luckily, so far that the report suggests that he should be able to save. He's in critical condition, but the shot did not really go through his heart. It basically went through between his heart and his lung. And then the police in their press conference said that the police officer was just defending himself. This was all self-defense, so it was all legal and reasonable. But a lot of videos show that, in fact, the police officer, so this guy, the officer who fired shot, he said that he was trying to save a buddy who was on the ground. But then an early video showed that this guy who was on the ground was actually trying to chase after protesters, and not sure if he fell or he was pulled down. But then protesters were not attacking the professor early on, but the officer on the ground was trying to chase after protesters. So then the claim for self-defense is in suspect. And this now that the first shot has been fired, this, the Hong Kong people are all calling today October 1st Hong Kong's day of mourning, and this is just going to inflame tension even more for what's going to come in subsequent weeks.
And can you give us an idea of what the protesters want in this situation? What are they asking for?
The protests for the entire summer, there are five demands. The first one is for the government to formally withdraw the extradition bill, which would have turned over anyone from Hong Kong, even transiting Hong Kong, to China. And then the government originally just suspended the bill in mid-June and finally agreed to withdraw the bill on September 4th. But by that time, things had already escalated so much. So the second demand is to have an independent investigation into police abuses, because already on June 12th, the police were already using excessive violence and widely recorded by even the UN and the New York Times and Amnesty International. And police violence has only escalated since then. And the third demand is to drop the characterization of riots. And the fourth demand is to drop charges of rioting, because when a particular situation is called a riot, then even anyone, if you were participating in a protest, even if you didn't do anything, you could still be charged and convicted and subject to 10 years maximum in jail.
Because there is a sense that protesters are being pretty closely tracked in Hong Kong, right? Their faces and names are being taken down.
Yes, and this is why this time that a lot of the protesters, they're all wearing helmets and face masks and also goggles. One thing is to protect themselves from pepper spray and tear gas, but also to mask their own identity. So, and then the last demand is important, because for a lot of people, why Hong Kong would get to this mess, why Carrie Lam would even introduce this very mistaken extradition law, was because she is not responsible to Hong Kong people. She doesn't answer to Hong Kong people, but only answer to Beijing. And the Basic Law, Article 45, Article 68, promised Hong Kong people the ultimate aim of universal suffrage. So this is why the protests have mutated, and they're going to last forever, it looks like.
That's what you're feeling like at this point, as this was the largest display of protest since these demonstrations started many weeks ago. And just to give some context, Carrie Lam is the chief executive of Hong Kong. It sounds like popularly she has lost the confidence of at least the people who are out in the streets. Well, what do you think is going to happen in terms of the future here? I understand protesters are already calling for a citywide strike tomorrow.
Yes. And then actually they had started even before the live shot, and people were already calling for a 3-day general strike. And now with the first ever live shot, I suppose that the tensions are going to be even inflamed even more. My worry is that the escalation is going to get worse. I'm hoping the Hong Kong people also understand that direct confrontation with the police can be suicidal, now that the police would actually kill people, that maybe there should be also methods of more dispersed methods to protest. For example, people were forming human chain. There's talk of targeted boycott, and also people yelling out at 10 p.m. every night these protest slogans, so that the voices for reform, for protests would just echo through every single neighborhood. There should just be more discussion of methods, safer methods, for people to keep on with the protest without getting themselves severely injured.
We're talking with Victoria Wei, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Notre Dame, specializing in Hong Kong politics, also a native Hong Konger. Just finally, Professor Wei, it sounds like you are concerned about escalating violence and about what could happen as this process unfolds. Is there any forum where productive talks are happening, or do you see a solution to what's occurring in the streets of Hong Kong?
The best solution is that the government should actually, because they are in charge, technically speaking, they are in charge, so they should really address the demands. For a lot of people, the second demand to have independent investigation is the most important issue, because Hong Kong people now, they will keep coming out to the street, because they claim that even the last threat of freedom from fear, is already gone. That you walk out in the street, you could be beaten up by either thugs or by police officers. You walk into a shopping mall, you again can be attacked by thugs and police officers. So if people can't even go back, people really cannot go back to normal life unless the government addresses these demands.
We want to be following this very closely as things develop in Hong Kong after the protests and clashes with police really hit a new milestone yesterday. It was Tuesday in Hong Kong when a police officer shot an 18-year-old protester. Reports are in the left side of his chest or possibly in his shoulder. It's not clear. He is in the hospital right now. Victoria Hui with Notre Dame, thank you so much for joining us to talk about what happened and put it in some context for us here on Air Talk.
Thank you.
It's Libby Dankman in for Larry Mantle today. Coming up, we are going to get a TikTok, kind of the latest on what's happening with the investigation into the president's phone calls with foreign leaders, with Ukraine, and now with Australia, and what's been happening with what we know about who was on the phone call with the Ukrainian leader in July. There's a new update on that. Libby Dankman in for Larry Mantle coming right back after this.